This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley, with a reminder that all 31 days of August, it's the Cowichan Wine Festival, and Enrico welcomes you with celebration, revelation to wonderful fine bubbles, the Coronet, the Tempest, Shining Armor, Red Dragon, singer-guitarist Rolly Barrett on the deck outside, Saturdays and Sundays, weather permitting. And don't forget, August is the month to head for the Cowichan Valley and Enrico Winery. Open Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 5. You can get all the details you need at EnricoWinery.com. Hello, friends, and welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. All the details and all the history of this show can be found at TastingRoomRadio.com, which has a home at MulliganStew.ca, because there's also our Mulligan Stew radio show on CKUA. There is also the Mulligan Stew podcast. It's all there, mulliganstew.ca. But Tasting Room Radio, 14 years now, 14 years. And I'm going back to one of my original friends that I made when I headed for Naramata with my wife, Meg. And that was Sandra Ofield. Actually, I had met her earlier. I was on the film set, and she reminds me of this. I was on a film set. And at the end of the day, we were somewhere in just off the Okanagan Valley, or north of Oliver. And we headed for a wonderful restaurant. And that's where I met her. And we got to know each other over the years. Wonderful. I really like Sandra Ofield. And the wines that she made at Tin Horn Creek stand as a testament of how well we can make wines in that soil, that terroir. And this is the second segment that we have done with Sandra about BC women in wine. We frankly, as we discussed on the show, we couldn't come up with a better title than that. It kind of says everything you need to know about our conversation. For example, the three women that we're talking about today who are totally involved in the success story that is BC wine: Christine Coletta from Okanagan Crush Pad and Haywire, Kira LaFranc from Stags Hollow, wonderful winemaker, wonderful, and Paula Cooper, who for 10 years was on the winemaking staff at Tin Horn Creek and is now making wines at CC Yinch. So we'll be talking to Sandra Ofield about Christine Coletta, Kira LaFranc, Paula Cooper. And our final interview is with Mike Rathjen from the Saanich winery called Rathjen Cellars. And I went back a year ago. I went back to my archives a year ago and edited down a two-part conversation into a 15-minute conversation you're going to hear at the end of this show. And then I went to go find, I wanted to check my facts because it was a year later. I wanted to see what he had released and what he wanted to talk about. And he was on vacation, but he did send me an email. I didn't know it at the time when I started that feature, but he did send an email, and that's the last thing that you hear on this show are all of the releases that are coming, are currently available. Those are things you want to know simply because he makes incredibly good wines, and they're getting better and better and better. So Mike Rathjen from Rathjen Cellars finishes off the show. If you're ready, here we go. She's Sandra Ofield. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. You know me from this show and other things. Sandra Ofield, you know, from many years at Tin Horn Creek. And now Elysian Projects. And I make up a different job description for what Elysian is, except they're helping other people learn from what they learned at Tin Horn Creek. You're passing on, are you mentoring, really?
Yeah, I mean, that's my favorite thing to do, is to mentor new people coming into the industry or people who, want to up their game.
Good point. It's a good point. And those are the ones you want
to... There's a lot of game upping that needs to happen out there.
Exactly.
With, you know, things that are peripheral to wine quality, which include things like how to manage your people kindly and gently, and how to manage your finances so that you can survive. Yeah.
By the way, have you had a course or taught a course or spoken about media relationships?
Well, I personally haven't, but I put on with a partner of mine the Fortify business conference for artisan fermenters and distillers in BC, and that's a yearly thing. And we generally have gotten speakers there quite often that talk about media relations and all things surrounding that. So I help bring in the content, but I don't offer, you know, I don't actually put the seminar on myself.
You know, having started my media career in 1964, I have something to offer.
I might sign you up this year.
This is my elevator pitch, okay?
Okay.
All right. You've been doing a series called, well, actually, it's any excuse to just to talk to you. Just to talk to you is fine. That's basically what this feature is called. Let's go talk to Sandra. But we have fallen into a nice little groove here with women and wine. I know it's just a phrase. At least it tells you what it is. It's like snakes on a plane. You know what it is.
Yes. but kinder.
And I just ask you, who do you want to talk about? Who do you want us to know about? Because some of these individuals are not the star winemakers that we read about and hear about all the time. Some are behind the scenes and are just as important as anybody out front. She's Sandra Ofield. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. We're going to start with Kira LaFranc or LaFranc. We've decided it's LaFranc, Kira, from Stag's Hollow. Why did she make this list?
Well, I mean, she's young, she's a new winemaker there. She started as winemaker in 2018, but interestingly enough, she had actually worked in their tasting room 6 years before that. And in the in-between time, she went to Australia, she became a sommelier, she did post-grad work in New Zealand, and then, you know, she came back and pretty quickly fell into the winemaker position at Stag's Hollow. So, I mean, Stag's Hollow already had such a great foundation, not only foundation, but it's a great winery, and they were making some pretty innovative wines, I think, for British Columbia. And she kind of tutored under Dwight doing that, and then took over winemaking, and I think is just, you know, is really going to be an amazing addition to that winery.
Well,
she already has become that way.
You know, one of the things is she's going into it, not just a new winery, just trying to find itself. This is an established name. We have expectations of what a Stag's Hollow wine is. And so there's an added layer of pressure there as to, A, don't screw up what we've already established. But it would be interesting to know if in the process they said, and if you have something you want to add, you have ideas going forward, let us know. That's the kind of a winemaking deal, handshake
well,
you'd like to have, right?
Yeah, I mean, they must be doing that. She definitely brings her own ideas to winemaking. She, for example, is pulling out a bunch of the oak and really trying to highlight the wine variety itself. So it'll have probably a lighter touch to oak usage, I'd say, going forward, which I think is very positive. And, you know, but still, they're focusing on some pretty neat varietals that they grow themselves on their own property. So the ones I think that she will put a stamp on pretty nicely and carry forward into the future would be the Syrahs. And really, Stag's Hollow is kind of known for their Syrahs, and they make a couple different kinds, you know, one that's a little lighter, one that's a little bit, you know, bigger and heavier. And, you know, I think she's already starting to put her own mark on that varietal at Stag's Hollow. But she's just a great person, super interested in making the place that her employees work for be a great place. And she works a lot with their vineyards and their vineyard manager. So I just think as a young person, she's the full package.
Well, and that's the deal. One of the things when people are asking about, well, who should I pay attention to? Follow, that's what it is. Follow the winemaker, because that story is going to lead somewhere for you as a wine fan. So,
yeah, for sure. I do agree with that. I mean, the winemakers obviously get all the love. That's for sure. But, you know, I mean, you know, the same thing goes for everybody running the place or in the vineyard or in the tasting rooms or in the back offices. And, you know, even Stag's Hollow, their GM is is a great woman as well, Erin Corpisto, and she's running that place with real vision and strategy. So, you know, I mean, the winemaker sometimes is a great in, but then as you get to know other people at the winery, you really find out that it's, you know, so many different types of people work at winery.
She's Sandra Ofield. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. Hey, Sandra, one question here just off the top of my head, because it is early. Is there such a thing as an, like we've always heard about feminine wines, right? Is there anyone, actually, is there one winery that you know of in the Okanagan or British Columbia that is, in fact, making all feminine wines, no matter what the varietal?
And so when you say all feminine wines, you mean wines that are made by females, or you mean wines that have this,
That have the feminine touch, yes. Not so much being made by, but the end result in the bottle.
Yeah, I've never totally understood that that phrase.
Okay. You have no idea.
So,
how many times it's said to me right on this very show.
If you mean like super powerful, strong, massive, amazing wines, yeah, there's lots of those wines out there in BC.
I think what they're trying to say to me is someone actually used the phrase a feminine Syrah and went, there is such a thing? That's my thinking. I'm thinking, I've only ever had headbanger Shiraz or Syrah and a feminine Syrah. So I was intrigued by that because I'd like to know what that is.
Yeah, because again, like I'm focusing more on the word feminine than Syrah. And for me, that is like a powerful Syrah is a feminine Syrah because females are powerful. So I don't totally get the concept. But anyway, I know there's a lot of people that like to put things into easy categories.
Yeah, yeah.
I do know that for sure. I do use words like, you know, more intense or lighter, a lighter touch. I don't normally put them according to male or female, but you know, for example, Stag's Hollow has a normal 2018 Syrah, which you know is just a lower tannin level.
Yep.
Not quite as powerful. You know, not quite as deep in color. And then they have the Renaissance Syrah, which is you know a lot heavier, meant for a much bigger meal and to age a little bit longer.
I knew this was going to be a two-parter. I just knew it was going to be a two-parter. Let me take a break. Sandra Ofield, Alicia Projects, T.D. Mulligan, this is Tasting Room Radio. When we come back, we'll talk about Paula Cooper from C.C. Yench and Christine Coletta from Haywire and Okanagan Crushpad. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley, with a reminder that all 31 days of August, it's the Cowichan Wine Festival, and Enrico welcomes you with celebration, revelation to wonderful fine bubbles, the Coronet, the Tempest, Shining Armor, Red Dragon, singer-guitarist Roly Barrett on the deck outside, Saturdays and Sundays, weather permitting. And don't forget, August is the month to head for the Cowichan Valley and Enrico Winery. Open Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 5. You can get all the details you need at EnricoWinery.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the best small winery in Canada, Mooncursor. They are delighted to let you know that their Osoyoos East Bench Tasting Room has reopened for tastings, and they suggest you book as soon as you can. Guided wine tasting from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They offer a private winemaker tour and tasting, and of course, they offer sales and complimentary shipping with orders of 12 bottles or more. We welcome back Beta and Chris Tully. All the details at mooncursor.com. She is Sandra Ofield, as I explained off the front of the show. This is Tasting Room Radio. She is with Elysium Projects. She's a co-founder, along with her husband, who I believe is taking over the office currently. And we're talking about, this is a series of conversations we're having with Sandra about women in wine. It's a easy phrase that we just pull out of the air. But basically what it tells you is we're talking about women in wine, whether they're in the front of house or behind. They're the ones who are the strength of the brands that we are seeking and talking about. For example, Paula Cooper, Sandra.
Yes.
You and Paula worked together at Tin Horn Creek for, I think, something like 10 years.
And, that's right.
And she's now at CCN. So one step at a time. How were those 10 years?
Yeah, well, I mean, Paul is amazing. I like to build a really strong team that hopefully can each person can take responsibility for a big portion of the cellar. Paula not only had brought with her the best last name to manage all of our barrel program there with the last name Cooper, but she did actually manage our barrel program for years at Tinhorn Creek. And that didn't just mean, you know, it meant everything from purchasing the barrels, fixing the barrels. I sent her away to learn how to, you know, to fix barrels when they were broken. You know, everything from maintaining the wines in that barrel cellar. And she, you know, she would take it very heavily upon herself if something went wrong with a certain barrel or something. So I knew that when she moved away from Tinhorn Creek and went elsewhere, she would eventually land at a place that could use her, you know, her really, you know, very good meticulous skill set. And so she landed eventually at C.C. Yench Cellars. And I think she's been there since 2017.
Okay.
She studied under another female winemaker when she arrived. And yeah, now she's just grown into being a winemaker there. And I'm super happy for her because, you know, I love to see people who came into the industry to work at Tinhorn with no experience. And then as they leave Tinhorn, you know, they eventually walk into a assistant winemaker or winemaker role. I think is very, it makes my heart happy.
So you're talking about big Syrahs and big wines. That's what Christy Yench was known for, C.C. Yench. The blend, the chase, of course, which I fell in love with almost immediately. I liked him as a human being. And that's where the concept of, if the wines are near as interesting as the person making the wines, then I'm going to stay here. This is where I want to go. Because you can't chase, there's way too many wineries now. You can't spend your entire life chasing corks or screw caps for that matter. So I loved Chris Yench, and his loss was immeasurable to me personally and for the Valley, of course. But Paula is taking over from his mentorship, yes?
Well, I mean, you know, Paula certainly was taking over from the winemaking mentorship that was there underneath Chris originally, and I know that for sure. Like, you know, you can't escape Chris's big personality. It pervades everything. So I'm sure it's there in spades still to this day. They're definitely known for their big reds, as you said. Paula started years ago, starting to do a few natural ferments as experiments, and they're releasing some of those actually right now. But one of the really neat things that they're doing this summer is they're starting to release some old library
stuff, yes.
Especially, yeah, of Syrah from like 2012 through 2016, which is amazing. And I have some of those in my cellar, but I don't think I have the whole vertical, meaning all of those years in a row, collection. So I might have to head down there this summer and spend some money on some old vintages. But the other pretty neat thing about Paula is that, I mean, it is such a small winery still. And she's actually this summer going to be hosting in the tasting room on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, which is pretty neat because that way, you know, that's what people love about the Okanagan is at some places you can still walk into a winery tasting room and you can still have a conversation with the winemaker. And that will definitely be the case midweek at Yench. So that's pretty great.
That's fantastic. And I've added Paula's name to my wish list for my Okanagan Reconnect. I'm going to find time somehow, some way to have a conversation with her because I like that a lot.
She is
Sandra Ofield, Elysium Projects in the Okanagan. I'm T.D. Mulligan, Mulligan Stew, CKUA, and Tasting Room Radio. Now we have a conundrum. I was going to use the phrase, and you know this is coming, the queen of the Okanagan. You are my queen of the Okanagan, but also I saw it describing Christine Coletta as queen of the Okanagan. So I suppose we could have two queens, I suppose.
I think for sure Christine is queen of most anything that deals with BC wine. It's hard to even discuss her because everybody knows her so well, right?
She, what some people may not know, I'm sure most do, but new wine fan might not know that Christine ran and still runs, or it's still there, runs a shop that marketed BC wine to BC or Western Canada. They needed a marketing voice, someone who understood how to sell wines in our minds and in our hearts to the listener and the follower. And then she was seduced by the Okanagan. And she and her husband just started this Okanagan Crush Pad project because many of the small wineries did not have a place to crush, and it was expensive to figure out how to crush their grapes. And so they gave them a place to come and crush. And then they started making their own at the same time, of course. And then it all just exploded.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I first moved to BC over 20 years ago, you know, she was in charge of the Wine Institute at the time. And she, you know, she was really instrumental with a lot of those early people like George Heiss and Harry McWaters and others, Ian Tossenson, of, you know, helping to put VQA wines on the map in British Columbia, which the majority of the industry now just kind of takes for granted. You know, so when I got to know her, she was definitely, you know, the cheerleader for BC Wines. And then, you know, then she did her own work with marketing and branding, and that's really her strength is, you know, marketing and branding. And for quite a long time, she actually, you know, did a lot of consulting with wineries on how to strengthen their brand. In fact, at Tin Horn Creek, that was one of the companies that we hired to help strengthen our brand years before it sold. So, you know, I have a lot of respect for what she does. But since then, of course, with Crush Pad, I mean, they own like 400 acres of land in the Okanagan, which is amazing. 100 of them are producing grapes. And, you know, they have a winery that's the size that I used to run, a 40,000 case winery, which is a, you know, it's not a massive winery, but it's, you know, you're still able to do really small lot things, but, you know, you're able to get your brand out there, you know, across Canada and into other countries as well, which is kind of nice. So one of the things I kind of liked recently is that they bought a vineyard that's nearby my new home. I can actually look at it right now.
Wow.
I'm talking to you. And it's Seacrest Mountain Vineyard, and it's up by Covert Farms down in Oliver.
Okay.
And it's an older vineyard, and it's got a lot of history to it. And actually, you know, one of the wines there right now, I think, would be one for people to check out, and that's the Seacrest Mountain Chardonnay that they have, which I think is like a vintage 2018 as well. And it's, you know, the Chardonnays that come from that area are pretty lovely. And, they're, you know, they're making some great wines there. But in general, I mean, Chris has never, even when she started her own winery, she's never stopped becoming a cheerleader for propelling BC Wines further. She's you know, she's a player. She's not a watcher. And, you know, this industry needs a lot more people like her that actually, you know, are cheerleaders for the whole industry and not just for their own winery.
She's Sandra Ofield. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the best small winery in Canada, Mooncursor. They are delighted to let you know that their Osoyoos East Bench Tasting Room has reopened for tastings, and they suggest you book as soon as you can. Guided wine tasting from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They offer a private winemaker tour and tasting. And of course, they offer sales and complimentary shipping with orders of 12 bottles or more. We welcome back Beta and Chris Tolley. All the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. If you go to the website, the growing flock includes Black Swift Vineyards and Screaming Frenzy. There's a link there. The Scoundrels at Crown and Thieves. There's a link there. If you're heading for the Hatch, see if you can get there for their Hatchy Hour, their version of a happy hour. 20% off bottles purchased in the picnic area between 2:30 and 5:30. The Hatch is also the home of Black Swift Vineyards, Screaming Frenzy Wines, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59, and Smoke Show Barbecue. But they do ask you to come on down, and they'll do their best to facilitate you and your group and shower you with love, affection, and wine. All the details at thehatchwines.com. And welcome back to Tasting Room Radio. In just a moment, we're going to head for Saanich and have a conversation with Mike Rafton at Rafton Cellars. There's a reason why, because he's really good at what he does. But first, we're going to wrap up this conversation with Sandra Ofield from Elysian Projects and her second version of BC Women and Wine. When I got close to Christine Coletta, I became aware of the value of the people around her, David Schofield, for one, a great mind, yep. Right? And also, she was the first that I could remember, I'm sure it happened previously, where people like Alberto Antonini and Mr. Parra would come in and run the, they would look at the valley that they wanted to grow in or the, where they wanted to grow new or plant new vines. And they would examine the soil and they would go and think about it and do everything that they do and come back and say, we think you could grow Pinot right here. And that's what they did just above them. And so that's the first time I became aware of the team effort necessary to grow wines.
Yeah. Yeah, and also because, you know, she's been in this industry for so long and has made so many contacts around the world, like she's become kind of a conduit for bringing those people into the Okanagan for the first time. Many of those people have never been here before. She invited them here. And, you know, again, that just speaks to that larger purpose that, you know, she seems to, you know, be able to put the Okanagan on the map for not only for Canada, but for the world. And, you know, in a real personal way, just by bringing in important people to come look at it. And, you know, there's something to be said for people who hire consultants and then they keep them all to themselves. And, you know, they take them off the plane, they put them back on the plane and they never see anything else. But, you know, I remember when they were starting their vineyard, their switchback vineyard with Antonini as well. And when he came out to look at it, she invited other wineries that she knew to come and meet him and talk to him that day.
Fantastic.
I mean, that's a normal MO for her, which I think is, you know, absolutely imperative that wineries learn from that.
Pedro Parra, that's who I was thinking of. Now, one more thing on the check, on the plus side for Christine Coletta. First of all, she has a great team at the Okanagan Crush Pad, but also she was one of the very first and the loudest to go to London, stay in London, and sell her wines in London, in England. She saw it as an opportunity, not like the United States, something about the English and the UK, where she thought her wines would do well, and she was literally a cheerleader for all of us.
Absolutely. Like, you know, again, she started a group of wineries that had headed there with a focus and a strategy. And you know, but she was also, I'm sure, willing to go it alone if she could. But again, it's always easier to have success if you can collaborate with wineries around you. And that's just the normal way of doing things with her. So, again, like, I hope, and I do see this happening a lot. I have to say we had some dark years a little bit in the middle where it seemed like people were siloing themselves, but a lot of the new wineries that are popping up, very small wineries, are only going to be able to survive here with collaboration because, you know, land prices and labor and everything are so expensive. They're seeming to link up a lot more frequently with their neighbors, which I think is a great trend.
Wow. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, no problem.
I should come up to the house and we should have a party. What do you think?
Well, I'm having a party. I'm sure you're invited. If you can find the house, you're welcome to attend.
I do have four-wheel drive. Okay. She is Sandra Ofield, Elysian Projects. What is the website for Elysian Projects, Sandra?
ElysianProjects.com.
ELYSIAN, Elysian Projects. Yes. And we'll do another list later on. One more thing on this date that we're talking, which is, what the hell is it? What's the date today?
July 19th.
Fire conditions, smoke in the valley. How are
you? Well, I mean, you know, BC had an early fire season. We're kind of socked in right now a bit in the south Okanagan Valley from a fire that's been persistent for a week up near Okanagan Falls. But you know, on the bright side, things are burning away from populations and places like that. But, you know, it is going to be a tricky year for sure. And we've all kind of known it just because we had such a dry June here. So I think the best thing to do if you're coming out, and believe me, the tasting rooms have been packed, is just, you know, to use your common sense when you're traveling, you know, take a look at the BC Fire app, see where things are, see how far away you are from it. Don't panic, you know, I mean, it's a massive province, and even though there can be lots of fires burning, that doesn't mean there's anything threatening you when you come to go wine touring or beaching or whatever else you're going to do here.
Okay, one last thing. I'm astonished, I don't know about you, but I'm astonished at how many people who know me and friends, close friends, I get an email saying, we've just arrived in the valley, where should we go? What are you doing? Yeah. What are you thinking about? First of all, it took you 6 or 8 hours to drive there. Didn't you think about it? Did you thought maybe we could look this up and research this a bit? It's just crazy.
But you know what? I kind of cut those people some slack now because now that I'm in tourism, I'm pretty heavily into tourism side of my business as well. And, you know, like the Okanagan is not just for wine touring, and the majority of people that come to it are here for other things like the food, the beaches, the recreation, the hiking,
the golf.
You know what I'm saying?
The golf.
Yeah, and they might want to hit in like one or two or three wineries while they're here for 3 days. That's it. Like, so. Nah. For the majority of the people are that way. I can see them arriving here and then going, which one should we hit?
Oh, man.
But for sure, you know, a lot of wineries since COVID and now going beyond have all moved to reservation system. And so it's not onerous. It doesn't normally cost too much money. It's a small amount of money for the tastings now to pay. But when you book a time, and you can usually do it sometimes a day or two in advance, not at every place, but when you book a time, you get some real quality time now at the winery. It's not just trying to fight your way up to the bar and, you know, not talk with anybody. You know?
Right.
So it's still doable, but you have to quite often make reservations now.
I can remember, I'll just tell you this as an aside, I can remember being right in the middle of a absolutely great Vancouver International Wine Festival. Like, it was fantastic. And the guy beside me, a great big guy, two glasses in his hand, said, yeah, the wife would like a red. And I thought, why are you here? Why are you in this room? If the wife just wants a red, there's a bar over there. Just go and sit down.
Exactly.
Sometimes people either get it or they don't, and he definitely didn't get it. Okay, so listen, I'm going to make a reconnect with the Okanagan. I'm coming back, and my last official interview is going to be with you. Okay, is that okay?
Oh, okay, good.
I'm going to gear up, get all the answers to the questions, and then I'll come and talk to you.
Yeah, we'll make sure it's a nice, clear, sunny, blue sky day when you arrive.
Of course I will. Of course. I'll wear my best white. Thank you very much. Thank you so much, Sandra.
Okay, thank you.
Sandra Ofield, Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. If you go to the website, The Growing Flock includes Black Swift Vineyards and Screaming Frenzy. There's a link there. The Scoundrels at Crown and Thieves, there's a link there. If you're heading for The Hatch, see if you can get there for their Hatchy Hour, their version of a happy hour. 20% off bottles purchased in the picnic area between 2:30 and 5:30. The Hatch is also the home of Black Swift Vineyards, Screaming Frenzy Wines, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59, and Smoke Show Barbecue. But they do ask you to come on down, and they'll do their best to facilitate you and your group and shower you with love, affection, and wine. All the details at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the bistro at Hillside Winery is also open, with a new menu and a new executive chef, Evan Robertson. Bistro hours Wednesday to Sunday, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Dinner service, grab-and-go picnic packs, and takeout will be available through the bistro. Just a reminder that there's Canada-wide complimentary shipping on all online orders of 6 or more bottles. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. And welcome back. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Thank you for being with us. And thank you for those of you who've been around for the 14 years since we started in a studio, in a barn on the Naramata Bench. We now find ourselves in Nanoose Bay, Vancouver Island. Yeah, as you know, I'm extremely interested in the wines of Canada, the wines of BC in particular, and the wines on Vancouver Island, and a couple of very special wine growers, winemakers. Mike Rathjen is one of them from Rathjen Cellars. He's in Saanich, but he has properties around him. Some have been gifted, some have been loaned. First of all, I love his wines. Secondly, I really like the fact that he takes leased farmland, and Mike in particular takes great pride in bringing underutilized, damaged, forgotten farmland and bringing it back to health and back into production. It's just, there's nothing better you can do as a farmer. And so I want to support that, and I hope you do too, because he's also helping the local food system as well. So, and I love his wines, right? Mike and I did this conversation almost exactly a year ago. And we talked about his Auxerrois and Pinot Gris and Pinot Noir and his Rosé and the Weinbacher White and Red. And then I thought, well, I think those are 1 year out of sync. I should go and find Mike and maybe get that caught up to date. And I realized I contacted him just as he headed out on a vacation. So rather than bother him with an interview, I decided to run this interview for you. I've recut it. But also, I asked him if he could write to me and just tell me what's going on with the winery and get me up to speed, you as well. And so I'm going to carry on for the next 9 minutes talking to Mike Rathjen. Then, with any luck, maybe his email will have come in. Hang in there. I'll see if Mike gets a hold of me, and I'll give you an update on Rathjen Cellars. My first question a year ago to Mike Rathjen was to remind him of something that he told me 2 years ago. I asked you about your name on the label. You said, yeah, it's okay. I like that. It's kind of cool. How about the responsibility that goes with it? You said, ask me in a couple of years. That was March of 2018. We're now just over 2 years. How about that responsibility that you're carrying?
Feeling a little heavier all the time, I'd say. But partly due to the fact that people keep offering me more and more vineyards here in the peninsula. Yeah. But, you know, I think it's like any business too. As we grow, there's more employees, and I'm having to learn the human resources part of all this. And it's other people's lives, you know, when you get to the point where people are working for you full time.
Yeah.
And they're maybe having their first child or something, and you're their employer, and they call you boss. And
it's
kind of a strange thing.
Oh man.
After, you know, 20 odd years of being an employee, to be on the other side of that, it's definitely a responsibility.
But then
here we are in this pandemic as well, and people losing jobs left, right, and center. Trying to stick up for my people through all this, right? Yeah.
But it does imply that there's been growth, Mike.
Yes. Maybe not in bottles of wine, but definitely in response by the wine drinker. We've had a really great run over the last couple of years. Had an amazing couple of years for getting into some great restaurants and building up that side of the business. Really, really great response from restaurants. I'm quite happy with some of the chefs and people I've been able to work with. As far as like Tofino, we're up in Pluvio and then in Victoria.
Nice.
A lot of great spots here out Wild Mountain and Souk, and then over Vancouver. Got into some nice rooms over there, including Shambar and Kisatanto. And yeah, it's been really fun. And it's just a confirmation of what we're doing over here on the island, in the vineyards, and then obviously the wine that comes from it.
I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. Mike Rathjen, and the winery, strangely enough, it's called Rathjen Cellars. I remember you telling me that, and one of the things that really caught my ear was that you felt a responsibility to restore farmland that came under your care. There's nothing better. There's no better feeling in the world to see a piece of land that's been abused or forgotten, and to bring it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a long history of farming here on the South Island, and I think on the peninsula in particular, land prices were getting quite expensive. So it was becoming less and less viable to do farming in the classic sense. So several of our vineyards are in those kind of situations where land had gone fallow and or was just unused or abused in some cases. So that's continues to be what we're doing. And like I was saying, we're getting more and more of these vineyards being offered to us. And the vineyards themselves may not have been neglected, but one big thing that we're doing is converting a lot of our vineyards over to organic and sustainable methods, in particular because they're other people's properties. So sure. That's probably the best way that I can leave those vineyards in better shape than when they were given to me is to convert to that kind of farming.
And when we talked last, you were talking about you had five inherited wineries, farms with vineyards. And where are you now in that inheritance?
We're up to six, and then there's two more just in the last couple of weeks that were floated under my nose. And there's been several that I've turned away that just weren't the right fit for mm-hmm. varieties or maybe a bit too far away from the home vineyard. We've had two other orchards. So we planted an orchard for a friend on fallow farmland again. So this would be for cider production. And another orchard came online last year as well. So diversifying a little bit in the product line.
Yes. I noticed that you have a creme de cassis and a bumbleberry cider, and you're making a vermouth.
Yeah. So that's been another thing too, is to be able to partner with some of the other craft producers on the island. So we do a vermouth project with Ampersand up in the Couchin. So they've got that beautiful gin that they make.
Yep.
And a lot of people were requesting that they make a vermouth, but the technicalities that we have here in BC, vermouth needs to be made under a winery license. Hmm. So they sought me out for that and for access for grapes. So I provide the base wine for them, and they've developed the recipe with the botanicals. And it's a category of vermouth with the whole boom of craft cocktails. A lot of people looking for a local version of that. So now we've got a beautiful dry vermouth, and we're working on a sweet vermouth this summer with them.
He is Mike Rafton, Rafton Cellars in Saanich, formerly of Mike and Mike. Mike Norislo and himself are quite a pair, and it's still a friendly competition between the vineyards. By the way, I just want to say to the audience, we don't waste your time here having guests who don't make great wines. You have a lot of choices out there. You want to find Rathjen, Rathjen, Rathjen Cellars. And if your store doesn't have it, insist that they get it. Simple as that. Okay. Mike Rathjen, Rathjen Cellars, and he is the winemaker. Now, a couple of quick things, and then you're on your way. A couple of years ago, you said that you and Mike Larislo were kind of like a changing of the guard on Vancouver Island in terms of winemaking. How are you doing?
Totally. Yeah, I think that wave continues. Like, there's just been a real changing over and a lot of fresh energy, new ownership at old places and new vineyards starting up. And we're just riding that wave. We feel like we're in good company. Avril Creek, they brought in a new winemaker up there. I don't know if you met Brent yet. Really great to have some talent coming into the island like Brent. And it just feels like it's an exciting time. In our own vineyards, we're consolidating varieties and just making the vineyards make more sense. Pulling out or grafting over varieties that just aren't showing as well and doubling down on the ones that are. And then Frederick up at Saison, just vineyards like that are producing just such phenomenal fruit. It's an exciting time for the island, and we have had a string of wonderful vintages. So it's a great time to jump in. From 2015 was my first vintage, and it's been 4 or 5 years in a row of just wonderful vintages.
Okay. And finally, you're the first winemaker that I can ask about the effect that the sale of Unsworth to Napa Sonoma owners, people who really know what they're doing, will have on the profile of Vancouver Island wines down the road.
Mm-hmm. And that follows on your last question. I think it just really is a vote of confidence in what we're doing here. The wine that's coming out of the island. And I was actually here. I was invited to dinner with them on their scouting mission and was honored to pour a few of the Saison wines. And I think Anthony asked me to pour those for good reason. because it really highlighted the potential of Vancouver Island. And that they, yeah, this is their first purchase, as far as I know, in BC. So for them to choose Vancouver Island is just a huge vote of confidence in what we're doing.
It's a big deal. Yep.
And hopefully they'll plant a lot of great vineyards and just get that production up. I think our biggest issue, and I know it is my issue on the peninsula, is size. Yeah, our vineyards are tiny. We need more grapes. And we're proving that we can make good wine from it. There's just not a lot to go around.
Okay. What's your website?
RatchenCellars.com.
RatchenCellars. And finally, where exactly are you so that when you open that tasting room, people can find you?
Mm-hmm. We're just about 5 minutes off the highway on the way from Victoria up to the ferry, or vice versa if you're coming off the ferry, right in behind Elk Lake. And there's a beautiful little valley here. It's called Oldfield Valley. And we're just off of Oldfield Road. And like I said, it's about a 5 minute turn off the main highway between Victoria and the ferry.
I believe your alarm just went off and you have to be somewhere else now, Mr. Cellar owner. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Terry. Great to chat with you again.
I just want to let you know, I have tasted your wines and I'm telling you, you are on a roll. Especially, I know that they're an entry level, the two blends, but my goodness, just keep doing that. People are going to discover those two blends, those wine bunkers, red and white, okay?
Made in the vineyard. That's Vancouver Island right there.
Mike Rathjen is Rathjen Cellars, name of the on the label, and he is the winemaker. Now, he did write me, and I can tell you the updates. I appreciate the fact that Mike is on vacation. This just in from Mike Rathjen. Is the website up to date? Yes, not every store or restaurant is up to the minute, but pretty close, sold out on a few things right now, still offering free shipping with minimum orders. I feel like I'm in Rathjen Marketing. Any new wines added? Yes, just released in July. The 2019 Bunker White is a blend this year of Ortega Pinot Gris from our four Saanich vineyards, wild yeast ferment, aromatic, herbal, bright, food-friendly. And the 2019 Bunker Red Foch, Pinot Noir, and Carmenere blend. Three fermentation methods, whole bunch, carbonic maceration, and fully destemmed, all wild yeast, 18 months in neutral oak barrels, vibrant, juicy, food-friendly. And the 2020 Rosé, Gamay, and Pinot Noir blend from Cowichan and Saanich, 90% stainless, 10% barrel, wild yeast fermentation, lively acidity, nice balance between fruit and savory notes, and 11.5% alcohol. It was a good year because the bear didn't eat all the Gamay. I said, anything else I should know about? Yes, we landed another beautiful vineyard on Mount Newton Bench in Saanich for the 2020 vintage, planted in 1994 to Chardonnay, Pinot Blanc, and Pinot Gris. We've barrel fermented most of the 2020 whites from this vineyard, and we'll have a Pinot Blanc ready to release later this summer. 60% barrel, 40% stainless, 10 months on the lees. We're going to hold the Chardonnay back as a reserve release with more bottle age, Chablis in style. And the Pinot Gris is going into our Bunker White program for now. And my last question to him was, are you still open Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays? Yes, 11 to 5, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sundays are new this year for our tasting room. We've been busy, busy, busy since COVID restrictions lifted in July. Reservations are highly recommended. We also got the patio expansion for our license, so folks can do their tasting outside on the crush pad. No food service yet, but we're offering a guided tasting of four of our wines with Savannah, our tasting room manager, Sam. And you're up to date with Rathjen Cellars. I don't think I've ever done that before. I don't think I've ever turned the interview around and voiced it myself, but I just wanted to get that in the story. Thank you for doing this. Listen, here's what's going on with Tasting Room Radio. We might take a break. We are going to take a break next week, but we are coming back with a reconnect to the Okanagan Valley. There may be as many as 25 interviews. We won't put them all in one show, but we are reconnecting with the Okanagan in person very shortly. Watch for it. It's coming. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being part of this experiment called Tasting Room Radio. Thank you. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the Bistro at Hillside Winery is also open with a new menu and a new executive chef, Evan Robertson. Bistro hours Wednesday to Sunday, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Dinner service grab-and-go picnic packs, and takeout will be available through the bistro. Just a reminder that there's Canada-wide complimentary shipping on all online orders of six or more bottles. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca.